From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Wednesday, March 26th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunchi, Shawa, Toksuknusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us live via our YouTube and Facebook pages. You can go to ktoo.org/JPMLive to be taken to the YouTube, or you can just hop on KTOO's Facebook page. Today, Juno Drag has two events coming this week and next. We find out about the Mardi Gras brunch and the Wig Bangers Ball, rock and roll drag show. Juno Community Foundation turns 25 and has some updates on upcoming programs. We learn about the Juno Senior Center's Seward's Day Pancake event and fundraiser. And did you know that diapers are the number one physical resource families need, and that Juno has a diaper bank which gives out over 5,000 diapers a month? Well, we'll learn all about that and how you can help. No diaper changing required. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. Like, when does the music kick in? You're listening to Juno Afternoon on community-supported KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher, and you can now join us here in the studio for a behind-the-scenes look at all the conversations. Visit kto.org/JPMLive or hit us up on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. You can even comment and say hi to us while we are on the air, and maybe I will even see it, which would be good. Okay, it has been postponed, but Mardi Gras is more of a state of mind, right? And Juno Drag is here to tell us more about the upcoming Mardi Gras brunch happening this Saturday, as well as their final seasonal event at the Red Dog Saloon, Sex, Drag, and Rock and Roll, the Wig Bangers Ball, which is next Saturday, April 5th. And we might even have a little bit of an announcement of what's maybe coming up in June. And I'm joined in studio now by Miss Gigi Monroe from Juno Drag, otherwise known as Juno's Drag Mother, right? Isn't
Gigi? Sure. Hey, Boston. How are you?
Good to see you. Welcome.
I'm called a lot of different things, and I respond to most of them. So that is fine.
That's all good. Well, Gunavchish Hayugudi, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It's a pleasure to have you here. And so I know let's start with the Mardi Gras brunch, because that's the first event coming. It had been scheduled earlier this month. It was postponed, and now it's happening this Saturday.
Yes, we are ready, and we've been chomping at the bit to have this event. It was postponed because of some pretty incredible renovations happening in our venue. Mm. So we're really excited to be in the brand new, renovated, updated space at TK Maguire's. From what I've heard, it's gorgeous. I'm about to head over there just across the street from the studio
in a few
minutes
lot, yeah.
to check it out and start decorating. We've got some really fun, authentic Mardi Gras decorations that I muled up from Louisiana when I was there for Mardi Gras this year. And I think that we're just going to have a really good time and celebrate something, you know, a little different. This is the first time we've done a Mardi Gras theme.
So tell me about, because I know the brunches happen quite often, so tell me about what happens during the brunch. Obviously, there's food and there's performances, I would assume, yeah?
Yeah. So we started a drag brunch. You know, it's kind of been this phenomenon that's gained a lot of popularity in the last few years. And it's an opportunity to have a drag show that's not really late at night and that's not in a bar. And that is, you know, sometimes they're all ages. Ours are all ages. And so they're a family-friendly show. And it's an opportunity just to get together on the weekend and have fun with your friends or come celebrate a birthday. And we do performances that travel around the space. So you get to sit down and order your meal and your mimosas or whatever you're having that day. And the show comes by you at your table, and you have some interaction there. And then... you know, it's just a good time, a couple hours on a Saturday afternoon.
And it starts at noon on Saturday. And do you have to get tickets in advance, or how does
that
work?
We do sell tickets in advance, and sometimes we get sold out. So if you know you want to come, I would always recommend doing that. And the ticket is to cover the show. And then you're welcome to order whatever you would like off of the menu. But the menu is a la carte, and that's up to you.
I see.
So it's, you know, it can be... a pretty affordable situation to come out and to see a good show, and also have the option to order food and drinks.
And for those who may not know what would happen at a drag brunch show, is it music? Is it 'cause I know a lot of times in drag there's lip syncing going on with like a performance, or what happens at this particular kind of afternoon show?
Yeah, it's pretty similar to our night shows in that I'm a host and I MC the event. Normally, I'll perform the first number, and it's a lip sync routine to you know, high energy music that that I've selected, and I'll perform to that, and then welcome the audience and talk a little bit with the crowd, and then I'll introduce our other cast members, and they'll come out and do the same thing. At the brunch, they're all lip sync routines.
Okay.
And we consider ourselves lip sync artists as part of what we do. So that's the format, basically. And we have a very special midway through the show contest for Saturday, and that's a mask contest. So, you know, Mardi Gras, one of the symbols of Mardi Gras are those beautiful, like, masquerade masks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've invited people to decorate their own masks and come in and dress up for the occasion, and then we'll have a runway walk-off where you get to come up and strut your stuff and show off your mask, and we will have some fabulous prizes, some Juno drag swag, and just a really good time.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. And that's this Saturday. It's the Mardi Gras Drag Brunch. And where do people find you now?
We're at Gigi's Drag Brunch on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay.
And they can purchase tickets through that. Or they can come to the door. I think we probably will have tickets at the door. And folks can line up as early as 11:45.
But find it on Facebook or Instagram, and that'll link
yeah.
you to a site to get a ticket if you want to buy one in advance. That's noon at TK McGuire's, right across the parking lot here from KTOO. Okay, and then next week, I love the way it was billed as sort of the Wig Bangers Ball.
Yes.
it's also called Sex, Drag, and Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm. That's next Saturday, April 5th at the Red Dog Saloon, and that's your final winter season event at the Red Dog. Tell me a little bit about what's going to be happening at the Wig Bangers Ball. It reminds yep. me of like MTV when we had...
Yes.
What was that called?
The Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers yeah. Ball. Yeah, absolutely.
With,
yeah.
Ricky
something. Yeah, I don't remember, but yeah. I was young and I just remember enjoying that show. Anyway, so tell us what's going to happen at the Wig Bangers Ball.
Yeah, you're right. It's our last show at the Red Dog for the season. They always host us for the winter and spring, and so we're going out with a Wig Bangers Ball, and it's like our, you know, rock and roll punk, classic rock, pop punk, all, you know, everything kind of in that large umbrella. So that's the music we'll be performing to, and that's kind of the vibe that we're going for the night. And we hope people will dress up, you know, like their favorite 80s hair band, or, you know, maybe they glue up their mohawk for that night, or, you know, wear their leather jacket and their studs to come out to the drag show. So it's also the first time we're doing that theme. So it's a brand new theme for us, and the cast is really excited about that.
So are they picking different songs than they might normally pick?
Yes. Yeah. Everything, it just has more of an edge to it. It has more of a rock vibe to it. So there's everything from Joan Jett to The Killers to...
Oh, The Killers would be great.
Yeah, The Veronicas. Like there's, and even Rihanna, Shut Up and Drive will be in the show. And
nice.
So, you know... Everybody's own interpretation of what rock and roll and what punk rock means to them.
And I wonder, like, if some of the performers will be altering their outfits just a little bit to give it a little bit more of that kind of heavy metal vibe.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay,
definitely.
Cool.
There
yeah.
is a shortage of those studs that you can glue on to costumes. We've bought out Joann's as they wind down their service to the community.
Oh, bummer.
And
yeah, I know, right?
So, yeah, we are definitely going to give the looks and the feel and the vibe. And the other really cool thing that we get to do at the Red Dog is the bartenders, they're amazing there.
Yeah.
They're always so great to us, but they always dress up too.
Oh, cool.
And so they really get in the spirit and they make specialty cocktails that are just like themed for the show.
Oh, nice.
So they really get into it and everyone's really into it. Our crew dresses up and we just have a great time. So we'd love for everyone to come down and just celebrate an awesome winter at the Red Dog with us.
And do people have to get tickets for that in advance?
Yeah, they can. We do reserve table seats. So if folks want VIP tables, we have a small number of those right up by the stage. And then we have general seating after that. So folks can do that at junodrag.com or junodrag on any of the socials. You'll find our rock and roll show ticket link there.
Okay, great. And then I was teasing that we might have an announcement for June. You said something that might just have gone public in terms of dates and stuff.
Yeah, could you do a drum roll?
Actually, you know what?
Wait.
I think, hang on, wait a second.
Oh my gosh.
I think I actually have in
I wasn't
my new,
serious, but...
I know, but let's see if I have a... I don't have it. I thought I had like a little drum roll thing. I should always have that.
Okay,
on
we
the,
can.
On the side. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Glitz 2025 will be June 27th, 28th, and 29th. And this year, we will be at Perseverance Theater.
Yay!
Yay! So, brand new vibe and refreshed kind of vibe for Glitz, our annual Pride drag show. This year is our 10th year.
Wow.
So, we're really excited about that. And we are bringing you a very cool theme. It is called Beyond the Big Top, Cirque du Soqueer. So let your imagination run wild with that. Tickets will be on sale in early May.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing two night shows, Friday and Saturday night, and then a Sunday matinee that's family friendly.
Nice. Okay, excellent. So that's all happening June 27, 28, and 29.
Yes.
During Pride Month, and yep. It will be over at Perseverance, and I'm sure you're going to be posting about that on all the socials, and people can just be watching out for that. But in the meantime, this Saturday, the Mardi Gras brunch, drag brunch over at TK McGuire's from noon to 2, and then next Saturday, April 5th, is the Sex, Drag, and Rock and Roll Wig Bangers Ball down at the Red Dog Saloon to close out sort of the winter season of performances. Awesome. Well, Gigi, thank you so much.
Yeah, good excuse for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's
thanks
been wonderful.
For coming in and telling us all about it. And we'll see you on the socials.
Yes.
I love that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, we will talk with the Juno Community Foundation about turning 25, plus info on their upcoming programs and grants. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, this week's Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is tsa.
Tsa.
That means seal. And here is a sentence. The seal burped loudly. Let's hear it again.
Tsa.
Seal. Gunesh Chish to Khane Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining us via the live stream as well on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. See us behind the scenes here in the studio. And you can send us a warm message or a question if you so desire. I may or may not see it. We'll see. Okay. Juno Community Foundation has been helping Juno nonprofits and other organizations around Juno for 25 years. This is the year, 25. They also have lots to announce and share with us today. I am joined by Executive Director Amy Skilbred. Gunath Chi, Shwasaiti. How you doing, Amy?
Great. It's such a beautiful day.
It is so sunny out there, yeah, isn't it? So nice. And also we have Monica Doherty, who I believe you are the programs manager?
Grants and scholarships manager, yeah. Program manager.
Okay. I wasn't sure
more
exactly what. Yeah. You do a lot. You do work with a lot of programs and do different things.
Yes.
Well, welcome, Monica. I'm going to cheese for being here. Wasiti, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Boston.
Okay.
Great to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Okay, Amy, let's start with this thing, 25 years.
Yeah. That's 25 years. So year 2000 was when the Juno Community Foundation started, and it started with three people, Reed Stoops, Eric Kiefner, and Ken Lakehorn, who all got together and said, we really need some place that people can leave money to help Juno in the future. And mm-hmm. so they were really looking at legacies and people being able to leave money to things that they enjoy, like KTOO and other agencies or areas like our community impact funds, youth and education, arts and culture, health and social services, and parks, trails, and recreation. And we have grown considerably since we first started and are now a fairly good-sized foundation for the state of Alaska and providing a lot of funds back to Juno and really working this year, our 25th year, on just those legacy gifts, which are, you know, we look at legacy gifts as what people might give during their lifetime. We call them like visionaries. They're like want to see what it happens with it and how it goes. And others who put us in their will and or otherwise give after they've gone, just to continue giving to those things that they really care about. And so it's been great.
And you can find everything at junocf.org, and you can see all the different funds. And some of the things that you do when you mention these legacy funds, because you mentioned KTOO, and I know Perseverance has it too. In terms of their foundational funds, you sort of manage those and allow
Correct.
People to – so you're managing the investments as well as also accepting donations into a wide variety of funds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And giving out a lot of grant money. We're closing in on $50 million having come out of the Juno Community Foundation.
That's so pretty great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I saw you were about to hold up.
I know. This
the benefit
is
of the live stream. You can see it.
I didn't know about live stream until you like alerted me. I was thinking, great, we're not on camera, but yes.
You are.
And so Strength Through Collaboration is our newest, just came out, our annual report. And people can see that. It's available online. And so
okay.
you can see a copy there, and Strength Through Collaboration, because really as a community we are just so much stronger when we all work together. And with the Community Foundation, the only reason that it works well is we give money to organizations like K2O, like AWARE, like the Glory Hall, numerous organizations, and those organizations are the people who take those funds and do great things for Juno with them.
So, absolutely. And I just yeah. happened to turn to, I was just flipping through and I turned to a page of former KTOO community engagement producer Tasha Elizarde.
Yeah.
And she is in your annual report. That's really cool. So I can't wait to read this. Thank you for sharing it with us. And, of course, you said you could find it online, too.
Correct.
So everybody can read about it. And I do think you're right. Like, having – I mean, Juno always steps up, it seems like to me. But also, it's just amazing every time I hear the stories of what people have done and what we've done to accomplish and to help all the various different organizations that are part of what you – do. It's just fantastic.
And we really celebrate giving in all of its forms.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who volunteer a great amount of time to nonprofits and other things that they're interested in town. And there's people who give their expertise. And then what we found is as people get older, they're more able to give funds and, you know, treasure, so to speak, money. So
yeah,
all three of those sustain our community.
Or someone like me who spent their life working in the nonprofit, foregoing all those really nice corporate salaries.
There you go.
Okay, so we also want to talk a little bit about Feeding Juno's Kids.
Yeah, Feeding Juno Kids is a fund that we have, and we were able to raise, thanks to all these folks in Juno, $300,000 last year. And we use that money to support the vacation food bags, the weekend food bags, the meals in the schools, and assisting counselors with some food to hand out to kids when they're hungry. And basically, we just finished 700 bags were filled and delivered and went to students in need. Talk about collaboration. It was the National Honor Society from the high school who filled the bags. First Bank provides a community service award to an organization that assists with doing good works, and that was to the National Honor Society. Southeast Alaska Food Bank provided the place and the dry goods or the shelf-stable goods that went into the bags. And then Super Bear provided the others food. And the Coast Guard delivered 700 bags to students and families.
So, awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
That's amazing.
It's really fun.
Okay, and then I know you talked about giving out a lot of money, and I know that there's a big one that you do right here in Juno, Hope Endowment CBJ Social Service Grant Program. What's the update there?
So we're in the final stages of deciding on the funds that we have available and that we are sure to receive from the CBJ. And so we'll be letting organizations know in the next 2 weeks or so what they'll be getting. And at the same time, we've become the point organization for seeing if there are other funds that we can receive from CBJ to meet the need that's really grown over the years, which is the harder part of our community, is that the need is only growing for people needing social services in town. So mental health, substance misuse, homelessness. So
you might be picking up some of those programs too.
So we may be able to fund more. We just have to see where we end up.
Okay.
It's going through the CBJ finance process. So,
and the Hope CBJ grants, those are given to organizations, right? And if an organization is newer or they want to learn about it, they can go to junocf.org and where they might apply next year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you go and look under grants and scholarships on our page, and you'll find information on it. And then one last little thing, Pick, Click, Give. Pick, Click, Give, you can do that until March 31st, along with applying for your PFD, and that's coming up really quickly.
That's a good reminder. That's like Monday, I think, is the last day to apply. So if you haven't applied for your PFD, now is the time.
Now is the time. And we really encourage people to give to those nonprofits in town that you feel do the most for what you really, what you really are heartfelt that you believe in, and give there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pick, Click, Give. Always a good thing to do. And, when you've applied before, I just did it like last week. I think it took like 2 minutes. It doesn't take very long at all.
No,
so, Monica, hi.
Hello.
Okay. Now, you were here last time, I think, but you are the newest member at Juno Community Foundation.
I am. I've been at the foundation for just over a year now.
Okay.
And we have entered into one of my favorite times of the year because it is scholarship season.
Yay.
So we're just starting to get in some of the applicants who are applying to our scholarships, which are... They are open right now, and they are due April 14th, but I can quickly go over the five scholarships that we have available.
Please.
So people can know about them. So each kind of have their specific requirements for them, but there's also some similarities specifically for our Juno-based scholarships for high schoolers, and those are the Alma Harris Scholarship, and that is $10,000 for one student, and that's for JDHS high school graduates.
Okay.
And that's for any post-secondary education. So if you're going to vocational training, that also applies, as well as traditional college track. And then we have the Simon and Anna Kirk Memorial Scholarship, and that's for two students for $1,750.
Each, right?
Each. Yeah. And those are also renewable. So those can be renewed up to 4 years for a total of $7,000.
Oh, excellent.
So two really, you know, pretty substantial scholarships there.
Is that for high school seniors as well?
High school seniors. This is also for Yakusuke Dakuhini and GED students.
Okay.
2 years prior. So that's, you know, a little bit more expansive. And then we have the Bob and Darlene Phelps Stute Family Scholarship Fund. And this one has probably the most specific requirements, a GPA of 3.5 and below. And that one is...
Oh, or below. I want to point that out. Or below.
Yeah, and this is for two students, and each scholarship would be for $2,000. So... those are our Juno-specific scholarships, and like I said, they are are for any post-secondary education that students are seeking to support with tuition, supplies, and those types of things.
I love that they had that one with was the bot. What was it? Who was the last one?
Studi.
Yep. Yeah, that is so cool because, you know, some of us aren't 4.0 students, right? And you get to, you're like 3.4 and you're like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But then why is everybody, all the smarty pants get all the scholarships? Why can't I get a scholarship?
Yes, we definitely encourage everybody to apply.
Yeah.
We're kind of trying to break that narrative down, definitely. And yeah, for any of these really, we encourage everybody to take a look at them, to apply, because the donors who designed these scholarships are looking to support all students, really.
Now, here's a good question, Amy. So these are three funds that Monica just went over, and they have names. So these are people who put this in their name, and they did this. Can people do that? Like, if I wanted to do that with the Juno Community Foundation and say, hey, I want to support people with under 3.5 GPA too, like, can they call and say, hey, I want to set up a fund?
They can. When you set up a scholarship fund or any of the funds, there's minimums for how much you need to put in order to, and sometimes for scholarship funds in particular, we, you know, it's about 4% a year of the total fund that comes out as a grant. But you want to make it worthwhile because kids have to take time and it's expensive to go to school. So, you know, we're sort of
my daughter just went to nursing school. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's expensive, but people can. They should call us. And the ones that have names to them are usually their scholarships or sometimes donor-advised funds.
Right. Okay.
And either of those we can do. We also really encourage people to look at our community impact funds and field of interest funds, because if you'd like to just generally support an area and more leave it to us to figure out what the needs are, then that's the way to go.
Yeah, if you don't have enough maybe to set up a fund, you can actually give to these many different funds,
and you
right?
You can give to any of these funds
absolutely.
That we have. So,
okay. Yeah. And also, Monica, I wanted to ask you about the Friends of Gustavus Grant Program.
Yes. And maybe before we get there, I do have two more.
Oh, yeah, two more scholars. Sure, I forgot there were five.
A couple more. There's these ones are based out of Skagway, so we do work with neighboring communities as well. Mm-hmm. The Margaret France Brady. This one's actually pretty cool. It's an artist scholarship. They're a bit smaller, $500 to $1,000. Last year, they gave out 12 of those. They're for any age artist, so that could be a elementary schooler who wants to go to the Sika Fine Arts Camp. Parents could apply to help fund for tuition there. And we also get lots of college students who maybe want to take an extracurricular activity in a music class or an art class, and so they can get funding that way for those types of interests. So that one's pretty cool as well. And then the Hather Family Scholarship was specifically for Skagway students, but definitely significant, and I know it's broad. We broadcast across Southeast.
Yeah, people hear it everywhere. Yeah.
So,
but if you're a high school student or a parent of a high school student, these are five funds to look into. You can find out more about that all at junocf.org.
Yeah. But yes, speaking of neighboring communities,
yes.
The FOG grant is open. Definitely check it out. And this is for supporting any organization that has events, services, and these are nonprofit organizations in Gustavus. If you're an organization in Juneau that holds events or have supportive programs for Gustavus, you can also apply to these grants. And the FOG grant is usually $1,000 to $5,000. Mm-hmm. Looking for applicants who really kind of across the board, health and social services, arts, or just community-based projects going on. It's pretty wide open.
Something that will take place in Gustavus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you go online, you're looking for Friends of Gustavus Fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Not FOG.
Not exactly.
That's the short version. That's the internal name. Yeah. But it's Friends of Gustavus. Okay. And then lastly, before we run out of time here, the Douglas Dornan Grant Program.
Yes. The Douglas Dornan Grant Program is really one of our longest running.
Yeah.
The foundation took it over in 2009, but has been running since the early 90s. And this is a fabulous grant that has supported a lot of organizations in Juneau and the larger area. And these grants are between $1,000 and $4,000. 17 organizations got one last year. Mm. And again, it's very broad. It's health and social services, youth activities, education, parks and trails. So
does it mostly go to organizations, though?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not individuals. Nope. These are for organizations to apply for. Yeah, okay.
They really set it up to be throughout Southeast.
Okay.
And so they have been, they've assisted in many communities with grants to nonprofits and other communities in Southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. So again, online, junocf.org.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many grant programs. They break it down really well on the website, junocf.org. If you're a high school student or the parent of a high school student, or if you're an organization, you want to check out that website and see what's going on. They all have deadlines that are coming up soonish, right?
Yes.
The grant scholarships is middle of April, April 14th. Mm-hmm. And then some of these other grant programs you just mentioned, I'm sure those deadlines are coming up.
They are, yep.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
The next month or two. Yeah. Depends on which one.
Shortly, I think in a couple months, opening in June will be our individual artist award grant. And so that's a big one to get out.
Yeah.
In the summer. You'll come back and tell me about it.
June. Check it out on the website.
Check it out on the website.
But that'll be for individuals, and we'll learn more about that one next time you come in. I love it. It's Amy Skilbred and Monica Doherty from the Juneau Community Foundation over at junocf.org. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and please keep giving away money. We love it.
If you give it to us, we'll give it out.
That's right. I love that. Thank you so much.
All right,
Gunnath Cheesh for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, up next, Seward's Day is upon us, and the Senior Center is having an awesome pancake breakfast, which also serves as a fundraiser. We'll talk to them next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. Here they come. Rufous hummingbirds, ruby throats, and others are migrating north after a hot, dry winter in sunny Mexico or Central America. And they're ready for a drink. Hummingbirds need to consume several times their body weight each day, so they're looking for flowering plants to quench that mighty thirst. If a whirring puffball is hovering at your window, consider becoming a hummingbird bartender. To help feed them, select a hummingbird feeder that you can easily clean on the inside, and one that has plenty of red to attract the birds. Then fill it with sugar water made by dissolving one part sugar in four parts water. No honey or sugar substitutes allowed, and please, no red food coloring. There's no need to feel guilty that feeding hummers will lure them away from their natural sources of nourishment. The birds will continue to consume a healthy balance of plant nectar, small insects, and sap. So set out a feeder, and before long, you may be hearing a hummingbird hovering around your watering hole. You can learn a lot more about hummingbirds and what attracts them. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I am joined now in studio by a bevy of folks from the Catholic Community Service and Juno Senior Center. I have Michael Scott, Stephanie Dosher, and Aaron Walker Tolis. Michael Gunathchish, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good to have you back. Stephanie, hi. Wasiyati, how are you?
Hello, good.
And Aaron, welcome back. Wasiyati, how are you?
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Excellent. We had you here, I don't know, it was like a month or so ago. We talked about a lot of the senior programs, but this program we mentioned briefly back then, this thing that's happening on Monday, I believe. It's Seward's Day.
Yes. It is.
And there's going to be a cool pancake breakfast. But first, let's start with a reminder. Who wants to tell me about what Seward's Day is?
Isn't it celebrating the sale of Alaska when Russia sold Alaska to the U.S.?
Is it?
I think so. I don't know. All I know is we celebrate with pancakes.
I know. And I, you know who knows is all the people who will be at the pancake breakfast will definitely know. They'll probably even – maybe they were even there.
Well, you know, it's okay if you don't know.
You can still eat the pancakes.
True.
Because the pancake breakfast is really about it's a fundraiser. It's really about a celebration. It's a perfect time to get together. And it's not just for folks at the Senior Center. It's for anyone who wants to show up and help out the Senior Center, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we thought a lot about this. We used to have this pancake breakfast fundraiser every Seward's Day and every Alaska Day before COVID. So we did it for years.
Oh, yeah.
And so we want to get back to that. But we want to do this pay as you can because we really want this to be inclusive.
Oh.
This is more about outreach and bringing the community together and education about senior services, opportunities to volunteer. We just want to break even. We really, more than anything, just want people to come out of all ages to the Senior Center and get to know us.
Well,
and
you know,
it's available.
I feel like pancakes are you'll break even, right? Our pancakes are pretty cheap.
You know, and we've got donations. And you guys
oh, nice.
Want to talk about the little auction?
Yeah, let's talk about the auction. Stephanie, you're on that?
Yeah, we're doing a little silent auction. We partner with some local businesses downtown, like the Rookery, Busting Out Boutique, Changing Tides, Gold Digger, and then U.S. Foods, our food supplier, also donated a few
Shout
items
out to Brad.
For... Yeah, Brad at U.S. Foods, he's
yes.
a bestie. But that was for like the food. But the other downtown businesses donated like small items, so we're gonna do a little silent auction around those. And we also have some paintings from the Senior Center.
Oh, wow.
Some really nice paintings. Yeah, that were
some paintings. Who did the paintings?
Lots of local artists,
okay,
I believe.
Local
we couldn't
artists.
Find some artists for some of them, but a lot of them are local artists.
Well, I was just wondering. I thought maybe it was people who were at the Senior Center that were doing paintings that then I could buy. That would be cool, too.
That would be cool, too. But at this point, it's, you know, the Senior Center has been open since the 70s.
Wow.
And over the years, people, you know, gift us with beautiful paintings. And we just simply do not have enough wall space for all of the gifts. And we were thinking about, I mean, people give these gifts out of love and support for the program. Mm-hmm. We simply don't have the wall space. And so we're like, well, you know, we can encourage the community to come, you know, do the silent auction, the funds all go back towards the intended purpose, which is supporting seniors and the Senior Center.
Okay, so the details of this, it's happening this Monday on Seward's Day. It's from 9:30 to 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And Michael, we talked to you last time. You're newer to Juno. Is that right?
No.
No. I'm confused.
I'm the newest.
You're the
I've
newest.
I've only been here like seven I've, months, I think.
7 months. How long have you been
I've
here?
I've been here almost 12 years.
12? Yeah, that's what I remember. But you're newer to the Senior Center.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Not newer to Juno, newer to the Senior Center. You've been there a few months, right?
About 2 months, yeah.
2 months. Okay, that's what I was thinking in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But so is this your first big event at the Senior Center?
Correct.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening on Monday, what your role is, and what we can expect.
Well, essentially, I'm just going to, you know, just be coordinating the volunteers, just letting them know what they should be doing. Hopefully, everything goes well as far as the whole event, just, you know, the setup, the cleaning, and pretty much that's it.
Who's making the pancakes? Is it volunteers?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So are you still needing volunteers?
I mean, if people still want to join, then they're more than welcome. But I think we got more than enough volunteers.
You got a lot of sign-ups? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and then do you, you said, Aaron, that you had done this before COVID, this event.
Uh-huh.
And is this the first one since COVID?
It is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're super excited.
And before, in the past, how many people would you expect to show up at an event like this?
Oh, gosh, you know, maybe 75.
Yeah.
You know, in past years, different years, sometimes our elected officials would show up. And so we'd have the mayor and a couple of legislators show up. And just a good time to talk all the way around. Folks, sounds like the word is getting out. So we don't know who's going to come, but I'm excited to...
Yeah.
To have folks just come together and just see who shows up.
I mean, pancakes is always a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
We're expected to have at least like 100 people.
So yeah. Oh, wow. 100 people.
Yeah.
That's what we're shooting for.
And is there a limit on the amount of pancakes I can eat? I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we'll have more than enough to go around.
You know, if we need to cut you off, we'll have a private conversation.
Yeah,
Boston.
Can you imagine?
With
you
respect.
Imagine?
With respect. You know, just
we're
like,
just hoping and praying that this whole event is just, you know, it really goes well, you know, as far as just helping people out and for the cause of what we're trying to do.
And I imagine that it's also partly to get people to come in the door, right, and learn about all the different things. We talked a lot about the programs and the different things that you're doing in terms of the lunches and things like that. And so this is an opportunity for folks to, A, donate through the silent auction, pay as you can at the door for some pancakes to help support the Senior Center, but then also just learn about the people who are going to the Senior Center, meet the staff of the Senior Center, and see what's going on over there. And because I think you also were talking, I think one of the times you've been here before, Aaron, we were talking about how, you know, again, the COVID dip, right? Like people were in their homes, staying at home, and that was happening to a lot of our seniors is they weren't getting out.
Exactly.
Do you find that they're starting to come out more? Are they getting to the Senior Center?
We have more people attending lunch now than we did 6 months ago. Stephanie's outreach has been really successful, and we've all been making a real coordinated effort to get the word out that we're open and we want to have stuff happen. So this is part of that effort to educate people that we're here. And also, we want to have the senior center be that point of entry to senior services. You know, we do a lot of senior services. We're the largest senior services, you know, community senior services provider in Southeast Alaska. We have the Senior and Caregiver Resource Center. We have caregiver support programs. We can fund respite. We can fund chore service. For folks who qualify, we have the Adult Day Center. I mean, we do a lot. We have free Tai Chi classes for fall prevention for seniors. This is a place to come and also just learn what's out there, and we can hook you up.
Hold up. Tai Chi?
Oh, yeah.
To prevent falls?
You know, balance is critical for prevention of falls, and just Tai Chi is perfect for seniors. And so we have a health promotion disease prevention grant from the Department of Health, and we provide Tai Chi classes for free to seniors 60 and older. And the focus really is strength to promote that stability of walking and prevent falls.
That is amazing. And I know, Stephanie, we talked about this last time, but you're the outreach coordinator, which means you're also doing a lot of social media, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you're putting up things about this pancake breakfast. Are you posting images of like pancakes with syrup dripping on them and stuff?
Yeah.
And she's going to be taking a lot of photos
on
Monday because, you know, I expect to have, you know, lots of beautiful, smiling, pancake-filled faces.
Okay. And we can find out about the Senior Center on Facebook at the facebook.com/Juno Senior Center. And, of course, all the links are available at ccsak.org. Catholic Community Service, AK, CCSAK.org. It's such a pleasure to have you here reminding us about Seward's Day, 9:30 on Monday, 9:30 to 1. So you don't have to get up early. You can
still show up
at like noon and have
you
brunch
pancakes. Show up. Yes, you
can
show up at noon. In theory, thou shalt still be pancakes. That is our goal. Our goal is pancakes
I love
forever.
That. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Michael, Stephanie, and Aaron, and telling us all about it. It's the Pancake Seward's Day event happening at the Juno Senior Center. For more information, go to facebook.com/Juno Senior Center or at ccsak.org. Appreciate y'all being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeez. Okay, up next, the Juno Diaper Bank. Yep, we have one, and it gives out over 5,000 diapers a month. We find out how it started and how you can keep it going. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But first, we're going to have a savory moment.
Step into the savory moment. There's a place in the Finger Lakes region of New York State with a lovely name. It's called the Hazelnut Kitchen. Let's go there now. From Ithaca, we head north to 53 East Main Street, Trumansburg. Keep an eye out for a cobalt blue facade, wide door the color of a terracotta pot, and two big windows softened by lace curtains. We step into a homey dining room with worn wood floors and round tables draped in linen. A current of smells rushes over us. The toasty crumb of schnitzel, the honey of winter squash, the herbaceous nip of parsley root. But today, we've come for just one thing. Hazelnut butter cake with sea salt caramel. New York State is famous for its tree nuts, black walnuts, butternuts, chestnuts, shagbark hickories, and of course, hazelnuts. Encased in an acorn-like husk, hazelnuts have the flavor of sweet hay. The Hazelnut Kitchen makes its signature cake by blanching hazelnuts, sloughing off the fibrous skins with a tea towel. This delicacy is called a shortened cake, moist, dense, and fattened with butter rather than oil. The other scent in the Hazelnut Kitchen is that of caramel sauce. Made in the usual way by simmering sweeteners, bakers here use a mix of sugar and light corn syrup until deeply colored, then stirring in heavy cream amidst a fury of spattering bubbles. The final touch comes with a knob of butter and a generous half tablespoon of flaky sea salt. Hazelnut butter cake with sea salt caramel is served in a single layer wedge, drizzled with big spoonfuls of sticky amber sauce. Find the full recipe at savorymoment.org from the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska. I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, March 26th. Sunrise was at 6:40 this morning. Sunset will be at 7:26. That's a total of 12 hours, 45 minutes, and 46 seconds of daylight today, a gain of 5 minutes and 6 seconds over yesterday. And taking a look back at this day in 1959, the bellman at the Baranoff Hotel was recognized as one of the top bellmen in America in a national contest. Buddy Gomez had been working for the Baranoff Hotel for more than a decade and was one of the top three finalists. That's a look back at this day in 1959 on KTOO.
You are listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher, also live streaming to YouTube and to our Facebook page as well. I am joined now by Izzy Ensinger from AEYC, Community Engagement Coordinator over there, and Emily Thompson, who is with the Parents as Teachers Coordinator, or you are a Parents as Teacher Coordinator?
Yeah.
You're the coordinator of Parents as Teachers.
Bingo. Yes.
Okay, got it. All right. All right. That's good. Okay. And today we're talking about the diaper bank, which I just think is amazing. And so, Izzy, will you tell us a little bit about what is the diaper bank?
Yeah. Thank you. So, AUIC, which is Southeast Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children, has been serving families and educators since 1982. And one of the ways that they did that is by starting the Partnership for Families and Children, mm-hmm. which is a coalition for 16 nonprofits and state agencies who work together to create a web of support. And one of the things that they identified that was the number one physical need that families have is diapers. So started a diaper bank.
And you give out like 5,500 diapers a month?
Yeah, it's a lot of diapers.
In Juneau?
Yes.
That's an amazing amount of diapers, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of diapers.
That's a lot of diapers. So, okay, and that has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it was started in May of 2022.
Okay, 2022, so post-pandemic, but it's something that was identified as a need. And how do people get access to the diaper bank?
So the diaper bank is accessible to any family that's working with any partnered agency. So okay. That includes, Hello Baby, Juneau Public Library, OCS, Tlingit and Haida Head Start, Parents as Teachers, Reach Infant Learning Program, and a bunch more. There's a whole list on the partnership for families and children, like PFC section of the website.
Okay. And what, can you give me the website link?
Yeah, it's AEYC-SEA.org.
Okay. It's one of, I have it here, the AEYC-SEA.org. And then you can go to /all-for-baby. Mm-hmm. And that will take you to that page. But I'm sure it's linked on the main AEYC-SEA. SEA, excuse me, yes. AE, there's so many letters.
Yeah, there's a lot of letters.
So that's one more time so we all get it. AEYC-SEA.org.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's perfect. Okay, and I have a flyer here that we're looking at, which is the Diaper Bank Partnership Fundraiser. So can you tell me a little bit about that, Emily? Can you tell me about it?
I can, for sure, yeah. As one of the agencies that utilize the diaper bank for families that are within our program, which is a free home visiting service for anyone who is pregnant, has a child under the age of 3.
Mm-hmm.
We started up and then we were able to originally, we applied in 2022, then the Alaska Children's Trust was doing a grant match program. And so they had so many requests post-pandemic for different communities around the state to start up diaper banks. They said, look, we can't fund everybody. So what we'll do is we'll give you all the marketing materials to kick off your own community-wide sort of fundraiser, and then we'll match whatever you get. So we use that seed money that we got back in 2022 to 2023 to kind of like pay for the program all this time.
Okay.
And so now what's happened is that the rate of diapers that we're passing out has greatly increased, right?
Yeah.
The cost of diapers has gone crazy because just like everything else, the cost has gone up.
Yeah.
And so it's more expensive for us to be able to buy the same amount of diapers, and we have a higher demand.
Okay.
So that's kind of where the fundraising is coming out of. Like, we continue to write grants. And what we do is that, you know, in terms of the families that we see utilizing it, like, yes, we have some families that are using this as a way to supplement, like, their monthly income so that they're not spending money on diapers.
Mm-hmm.
We also see a lot of families, like, within our program that maybe their baby has outgrown all their newborn or size one diapers.
Mm.
And so we will happily accept any donations of diapers as
well. Of course, they grow out of them.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So it's a lovely way to kind of like pay it forward to another new family so you can turn in diapers. And we've received over, you know, 2,000 diapers in a, like a 4-month stance of just donated diapers in.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a way to like, okay, how do we help out all these families? So some families need it for like a continuous thing. Some people just need it to try out a new size.
Yeah.
Or they're like, I'm half a sleeve through. Or what I see a lot is we serve families with, like, you know, a newborn and a toddler in the house. And that is crazy hard to get to the grocery store. So a lot of times, you know, we're coming for a visit. We'll say, hey, how are you doing on diapers? Do you need us to bring some? And a parent might say, oh, my gosh, that'd be amazing. There's no way I'm going to get to Costco today.
Right.
And so that just being able to, like, help out and relieve a little bit of family stress in that way, that's one of the big reasons, too.
Okay. And so there is a GoFundMe that you have that you are trying to reach a goal of $25,000 raised in 2025.
Catchy.
And 100% of that donation will go to the cost of purchasing diapers to stock this diaper bank.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming that the link is on the website.
Yes.
And on your socials and things like that.
Yeah.
And or it was on the QR code that's on the image on the live stream right now as well. You can hit the QR code for that. And I'll also post it on the webpage for this episode as well, which is really cool that this even exists. I didn't know about it. I'm sure a lot of people didn't know about it. I'm way past the diaper stage. Mm-hmm. Not for me, but for my daughter.
Also for you, probably.
Maybe. I'll be entering it later. You know, that's many years ahead, hopefully. But the idea that parents can access this program, those who are in need, you can make sure you go to aeyc-sea.org, and that will be a link where you can find out all the different partner organizations that you can work with to get access to the diaper bank. And if you're like me and you're past that time, now you can help by going to the GoFundMe and donating and helping out those who are in need and making sure that we keep the diaper bank stocked.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to learn about this. It's so good to know that we have it. I didn't realize we were giving out 5,500 diapers or more per month. Izzy and Emily, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, go to aeyc-sea.org for all the information. Thank you so much. Good cheese. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a sneak peek at this Friday's fireside lecture titled High Sign on the Sea, about early warning signals from seabirds about changes in the marine environment. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. And you can find us on live streams on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages or online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host. Gunath Cheesh, everybody!